Joining us now by phone is Lissa Radke, U.S. coordinator with the Lake Superior Binational Forum. Lissa joins us from her office at the Sigurd Olson Environmental Institute at Northland College in Wisconsin. Hello, Lissa.
Hey, Joey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Well, it's another rainy day in Ashland.
Well, I'm sure we're going to hear about the effects of that rain coming up here. We visit with you monthly on WTIP, but remind us what the Lake Superior Binational Forum is all about, if you would.
Sure. The Lake Superior Binational Forum is a group of 24 American and Canadian stakeholder volunteers who work together to find ways with their binational governments to protect and restore the natural environment in the Lake Superior Basin. So we work on different issues and provide recommendations to the agencies that manage the lake, and we provide outreach programs to the public who uses the lake.
And currently you're focusing on how to minimize urban flooding in a green way. Can you give an example of recent flooding that caused damage?
Well, sure. I'm sure most people who are listening remember the massive flooding in Duluth and Superior and up into the Minnesota North Shore. Grand Marais took a lot of rain back in June of 2012 when most of Minnesota on the North Shore got about up to 10 inches in 48 hours, which caused massive floods and damages to roads, highways, homes, businesses, parks. Just everybody was underwater. 1,900 homes. $100 million in damage. I don't know if you remember the pictures of cars and sinkholes that were about 10 feet deep in the streets of Duluth. Just an incredible amount of rain in a very short time. And also that year, the cities of Ashland, Thunder Bay, and Wawa also suffered significant destruction from flooding. So it's time to look at what causes these massive floods and can we do anything to prevent that kind of damage again.
And what does cause these massive floods?
Well, really, it's a combination of two things. Many people think that we are experiencing climatic changes from too much carbon in the atmosphere. The climate change is causing these extreme storms, which tend to be very flashy, which means lots of rain happens in a short amount of time. And other people think, well, it's not really climate change. It's just sort of a periodical cycle of storms. But either way, we are having more major storm events in the Lake Superior Basin. And another part of what causes these massive floods is that so many of our urban and semi-urban areas are covered with large amounts of non-permeable or non-porous surfaces. We've got so much concrete and roofing materials and asphalt that the rain has nowhere to go but racing down into our storm sewers, which gets quickly emptied into streams that end up into Lake Superior.
So what can we do to prevent damage like this in the future? How can we prevent some of that runoff?
Well, that is where this new word, green infrastructure, is coming in. And that simply means try to find natural ways to reduce the flow of stormwater runoff. The new phrase being used quite often is slow the flow, trying to find ways to slow this massive amount of rain water from quickly flooding our infrastructure. And luckily, there are many ways that are being used now already in the basin, and some that are being used outside of this Lake Superior Basin, other communities, but many communities are learning about them.
Can you share with us some of these ways?
Sure. I'll talk about some of my favorites first. Yeah. There is something called a permeable surface. You know, we've got all these concrete parking lots and asphalt parking lots, our own driveways, but they could be built with a porous material that still can have concrete, but lots of tiny holes in them, that actually these tiles or these materials are designed to absorb the water instead of being flat surfaces that allow the water to run off quickly into rivers and streams. So there are numerous places already in our region using them. There's a Hermantown stove retail outlet that is redone their parking lot with these permeable services to reduce that flow. Another business in downtown Duluth, the UMD, has put in these permeable parking lots and surfaces. Some were installed back in 2003, and their owners say that they're still working. So these can be beautiful. They can be sometimes incorporated with grass and sidewalks, so you can mow them, but the water basically sinks down into the ground instead of running off. And another one that I personally really love are green roofs. These are actually roofs that are designed to have soil on the top, and plants grow in the top of the roof. Mm-hmm. This is a very old technology. Historically, green roofs have been used for hundreds of years, if not thousands of years, in Europe to keep homes warm and dry. And we're lucky that we have several fine examples right here in our own backyards. The University of Wisconsin in Superior, the entire roof of the Student Center is a green garden. And the Unitarian Universalist Congregation Church in Duluth is vegetated with 100% plants and grasses. So they're beautiful to look at. They don't need any upkeep. They're a little bit more expensive, but they last a really long time.
Very cool. And can you touch on what a rain garden is? That one's got me intrigued.
Sure. A rain garden is a specially designed area that we can put in our own backyards, or it's also being used in many different communities and municipalities. This is just a small depression in the grass. It can be quite small. I've seen some in homeowners' gardens that are maybe 20 by 20 feet, or they can be quite large, like what we have here at a technical college in Ashland that's about 2,000 square feet. And this is just a place that's slightly depressed, a little bit lower in elevation, so water can run off from a parking lot and be guided into this garden. Often people put native plants and flowers in these rain gardens, and they, again, are used to hold the water in place and just let it slowly percolate down, water the plants, filter out any pollutants from the parking lot, and be a beautiful way to stop the water from running off into a storm garden. And there are rain gardens in many communities. Grand Marais City parking lot has a couple. I got to tour those when I was up there about a year ago. The Lake County Courthouse in Two Harbors has a large rain garden. So does the City of Superior. So it's becoming a very popular and low-cost way to absorb water instead of it directing rain off into a stream or a river.
Absolutely. And where can people get more information on this flooding?
Boy, you can. One of my favorite sites ever is LakeSuperiorStreams.org. Just start prowling around in there. They have a whole section on stormwater and green infrastructure. They've got a great historical archive of the floods of 2012. There's pictures and videos, before and after pictures of the flood, lots on what we can do in our own homes and communities. It's just a great site, LakeSuperiorStreams.org.
We are talking with Lissa Radke of the Lake Superior Binational Forum about slowing the flow. Is there anything you'd like to add, Lissa?
Well, I'd really encourage people to start thinking about Lake Superior Day. That is July 20th. You can go to our website at superiorforum.org to see what our new Lake Superior Day postcard looks like. We will send them free in any quantity to people who want to celebrate the lake, and the card this year is gorgeous. It's by a Minnesota Native American artist, so we're looking forward to having lots of people celebrate Lake Superior Day in July.
Wonderful. For more information about the forum and issues affecting Lake Superior Basin, visit superiorforum.org. Thank you so much for joining us, Lissa.
Thank you, Joey. Have a good day.
You too.